What's going on, everybody? And welcome back for another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered episode number 530 here on Thursday, September 5th. Let's get started here. Sorry for the audio quality. If it's a little bit rough, I am in the free state of Florida. So we're doing this remote today, but we wanted to get you an episode out. Obviously, big story is the school shooting occurring yesterday in Georgia. A 14-year-old shot and killed four people, two students, two teachers, wounded several others. I mean, just such a sick thing to do on basically, I think it was the second day of school. But the biggest thing to me out of all of this is, guess what? The shooter was on the FBI's radar as usual. Back in May 2023, this student made terroristic threats, and FBI Atlanta admitted that he was on their radar. Apparently, today, the FBI is now trying to shirk all responsibility for this to the sheriff's office, saying that they didn't actually do an interview of the subject. The gun, I'm assuming, was his father's, because the father said that they had guns in the house, but they said that didn't have unsupervised access to them. So clearly there's a lot to be determined there. I don't think they've announced yet what kind of gun was used, right, Matt?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You have to ask yourself at this point, what the fuck does our FBI even do?
I know.
Besides make up bullshit about Russia, which we're going to get to in a little bit.
I was going to say,
you know, they're back to the Russian collusion hoax. Shows just how desperate the Democrats are. But we'll save that for the election segment later. I mean, you've covered a lot of these in the long time you've been doing this, Matt. And It always seems like when these things happen, we find out later the FBI knew.
Yep. It's always the FBI, or that they, you know, had a paperwork issue that prevented them from, you know, like
with the background checks.
Like with Dylann Roof or with the Sutherland Spring shooter, like they always. So it's, you know, this is, I mean, honestly, this is like the pattern. You should assume that, you know, the FBI knew.
Came out yesterday afternoon, I'm like, well, that's as on brand as it gets.
That came out like within minutes of the shooting too.
Yeah, well, they knew they had to get ahead of it. Because eventually that was going to come out, and the longer it took, the worse it would look for them. But they also, and this is an early reporting, but apparently there was a warning call made.
Oh my god!
Did you hear that? Yeah,
the call
before it happened, saying there was going to be a shooting, and apparently they just like brushed it off.
Oh, of course.
I mean, and thank God for that school resource officer who saved a lot of lives, which is just a further case that every school should have a armed SRO.
Yeah. And then I saw the interview with the student who was like, she wasn't shocked at all that it was this kid.
Yeah.
You know, quiet and exhibited the usual traits of these individuals that commit these heinous crimes. So,
but what's crazy to me is that, and I don't know that I fully understand this, but I believe he was a freshman. And it was the second day of school. So, like, in a new school like that, that seems a little bit strange, but maybe. And we don't know whether he actually, like, targeted specific students or teachers, but, you know.
There's a lot of theories floating on social media out there that are quite horrible, but we can't verify those yet.
Well, and thankfully it wasn't worse. I mean, due to that hero resource officer. All right, a little better subject here. Let's move on to the Trump Fox News town hall that occurred last night. Donald Trump was in Harrisburg with Sean Hannity. I mean, that crowd was riled up.
It was nuts. It was awesome, but it was crazy. They were jacked up.
yeah, it was awesome. Take a listen to this clip where Hannity just had a hard time getting even started into the town hall.
I think we're going to be very well set up to do a great job. And do we love Pennsylvania? Do we love it?
Let me ask you. Mr. President, let me ask you this. Thank you. This is a very tough interview.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd definitely was juiced up. It was good to see. It was in, you know, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. They talked a lot about Pennsylvania issues, especially fracking.
Yeah.
And I think that it's going to help Trump in Pennsylvania a little bit there. We'll talk more about the polls later on. So just a few more clips we got here, because there were some great moments from it. You know, I was a little disappointed that there was no audience questions. You know, but that apparently what they did was they filmed the audience questions after what aired last night, and that's going to air tonight on Hannity's show. I mean, he's such a ratings whore. That's no surprise there. Trump brought up this story that I believe we talked about a little bit on last week's episode, but I want to talk about some more about the illegal migrant gangs, the illegal aliens who are terrorizing American communities under Kamala Harris. Take a listen to this clip.
We're letting everybody in. Take a look at Aurora in Colorado, where Venezuelans are taking over the whole town. They're taking over buildings, the whole town. And the sheriff, who can blame them? I mean, they have AK-47s. You saw it the other day. They're knocking down doors and occupying apartments of people. The people are petrified, and it's getting worse and worse. You look at...
Yeah, I mean, what's happening in Aurora, Colorado?
They're taking over the town.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's exactly what they're doing. It's basically a foreign occupation in Colorado. What's happening out there is fucking insane. You know, these gangs are taking over apartment communities and saying, we're the management now, and you're going to pay rent to us.
And the governor, Jared Polis, is like, it's not happening, when it's clearly on video.
Oh, clearly, yeah. I mean, they got long guns, I mean, you know, which is illegal. You know, illegal aliens owning illegal guns, shocker. But the same thing also happened in Chicago recently. And there's all kinds of 911 audio of people calling, and, you know, it's just totally out of control. And for people to say that this just isn't happening, which is the Democrats' line at this point, but then you saw that Polis had to walk that back, right?
Yeah.
Because everyone was like, what are you talking about? It's clearly on fucking
there.
Yeah, it's right there. And he's like, oh, well, you know, we're doing what we can. I don't understand how we allow this to happen in America at this point. I mean, if something like this, it wouldn't happen under Trump, but if something like this was happening, he'd send in the fucking National Guard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I thought that was a great point when he was like, no country has allowed 21 million people in over a 3.5 year period. Doesn't happen.
Yep.
So
That's on top of the 20 million illegals we had before. I mean, we're up in the 30 to 40 million range at this point. Over 10% of the U.S. population is now illegal.
It's like California's population.
Yeah.
Illegal.
I was reading the other day. It was like the amount that have come in is more than like 12 of our lowest state populations combined.
Oh my god.
And guess what? They get counted in the census.
Yeah, well, that's the point though.
Yeah.
Remember we discussed this before. That's the point.
Yep.
I mean, that's how Democrats are able to maintain a power grip in the House, you know, regarding representation. So
well, and not only that affects the electoral college as well.
Yep, that too.
But I thought one of the strongest applause lines last night, got the biggest cheer from the crowd, was when he said we were going to run the biggest deportation operation in American history. That continues to be a strong point of his, a strong policy point. And, the Democrats are like, well, that's going to just cost too much, because some estimate came out that said it would be, I don't know if you saw this, but said it would be probably like $150 billion for that kind of operation. I'm like,
okay.
well, that's fine. We will pay that. I mean, that's more, you know, that's what, less than half of what we've burned in Ukraine.
That's a rounding error.
Yeah, exactly. But also, they do not take into account the estimate that came out recently that the yearly cost of the illegals in this country is now reached $500 trillion annually.
Yeah.
So
does that factor in the Medicare and Social Security?
Yeah, that's like all that benefit stuff. Yeah, which I think that's low, but I know you'd probably agree with that. But
yeah, but I think that's a great point that it keeps hitting home too.
Yep, absolutely.
You're gonna beat it to death because you're gonna put all these illegals on.
Mm-hmm.
On top of it.
Then there was the moment last night where Trump went on a little tirade about them getting called weird. Take a listen.
There's something weird with that guy. He's a weird guy. JD is not weird. He's a solid rock. I happen to be a very solid rock. We're not weird. We're other things, perhaps, but we're not weird. But he is a weird guy. He walks onto stage. There's something wrong with that guy. And he called me weird. And then the fake news media picks it up. That was the word of the day. Weird, weird, weird. They're all going, but we're not weird guys. We're very solid people that want our country to be great again. I mean, it's very simple.
I thought that was perfect. He handled that so well. We're not weird. We may be something else, but not weird. Trump continues also to talk about the threat of World War III, which I think is a pretty underrated thing at this point going on, as America's allies continue to band, or America's enemies continue to band together against us. Take a listen to what he had to say about that.
I understood nuclear for a long time, the power of nuclear weapons. You need a president that's not going to be taking you into war. We won't have World War III when I'm elected. But with these clowns that you have in there now, you're going to end up having World War III. And it's going to be a war like no other.
I thought that was good. Also, the line we've got here, and then we'll talk about both, talking about Pennsylvania and fracking. Take a listen.
You have 500,000 jobs. Think of that. It's your biggest business. And you get a big majority of your income from fracking. And you have somebody that's not going to allow fracking. She's not going to allow it. You can't take the chance. You have no choice. You've got to vote for me. You've got to vote for me. Even if you don't like me, you know? Yeah. No, but even if you don't like me, you can sit there and say, I can't stand that guy, but there's no way I'm going to vote for her. No, you have to have fracking.
I think that what he said there is particularly interesting from a messaging standpoint, because it's kind of the first time I've heard him take what I've been saying, where he's like, yeah, you may not like me, but guess what? It's your only chance.
Yeah.
You know, you may not like my personality or this or that, but it's the only chance we have here, because if Kamala gets in, it's all over. And I think that's a really strong message. And in, you know, 2 months to the election, essentially from today, I think he really needs to hammer that, especially in the debate next week.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think a lot of people are coming around to that too. I mean, look at the polls. I mean, he has now regained the Electoral College probability in the
models, especially among independents.
Yeah, run by Nate Silver, that too. And you know, the momentum. I mean, he was in Pennsylvania, and you know, everyone was going nuts there. Yep. Meanwhile, Kamala has to go to New Hampshire, which is usually safe for Democrats, and had the best people in from Massachusetts. So, who has the momentum here? And we all know that these pollsters for years have never been able to nail down the Trump vote. They always underestimate it. Biden barely won with a 4.5-point advantage.
Yeah, we'll put one in air quotes, but yeah.
But like, you know, Hillary had what, two or three or something like that?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's
definitely... you know, in this territory with like one or tied, Trump wins.
Oh, I mean, for sure. And we're going to talk more about polls later, but basically he's polling about on average 4 to 5 points ahead of where he was at any point in 2016 or 2020. And like you said, if the polling errors continue in the same direction, which I would argue they were doing a much better job of polling when it was Trump versus Biden, and then they switched all of a sudden on their likely voter models, I think overestimating turnout. You know, I think we're gonna see that same kind of phenomenon going here.
He hasn't had good polling recently, you know, across the states. I mean, now Michigan and Pennsylvania are looking iffy for her. It's there was no convention bump. I mean, we were talking about it during the convention. Like, Trump was gaining in all the betting markets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it was like a 0.6 swing to her to now 0.10 plus 10 for him. It's just like, what?
Yeah. And I've got some more polls
in
the section here, because like, I agree with you. There's a significant lack of polling, which is interesting, but the ones that are coming out are pretty favorable to us. So we'll dive into that more. One last moment here from the town hall. This was by far I thought my favorite moment of the night, just because it was such an everyman moment. Like, Trump is just a regular guy, just one of us, right? Like, yeah, he's a billionaire, but at the end of the day, he's just a funny dude. And then he has this moment about mosquitoes, and then just flawlessly goes right into bashing on American politicians. It was one of the smoothest bits by like, a quote politician, right? I still don't like to think of Trump as a politician. Like, I still think he's just, obviously he's been in politics now for 9 years or whatever, but he still will just be the rich apprentice guy at the end of the day to me, because that's how we all came to know him. But take a listen to this.
He was down like 18 or 19 points after the debate. And I hate mosquitoes. I'm surprised. I didn't think we had. We don't like those mosquitoes running around. We want nothing to do with them. But and we want nothing to do with bad politicians that hate our country, too. You want to know the truth. But he had.
We don't like those mosquitoes. And we also don't like bad politicians. It was just so smooth. I don't know, just something about it. I thought that last night Trump was very vintage 2016
Yes.
Trump.
Yes.
Had a lot of energy. Clearly was feeding off the crowd. And I think that, if he can harness that and really nail this debate next week, I mean, we're gonna be in good shape. But we're gonna talk about the debate a little more. Couple things here before we get into more of the election stuff. So obviously everyone is aware now that six hostages were executed by Hamas just before their rescue, including American Hersh Goldberg Polan. A disgraceful response by the Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration, both of them putting out really lackluster, lukewarm statements on it. But guess what? These hostages are all being held in Rafah, the same place that Joe Biden told Netanyahu not to go, and probably could have been rescued before that, before their murder by Hamas. And I just find it so disgusting that this happens, and then immediately everyone's like, oh, well, Netanyahu needs to end the war and make a ceasefire and this and that. What is that going to solve, right?
I mean, how many ceasefire agreements has, Hamas rejected at this point? I mean, they execute six hostages and the response is there needs to be a ceasefire agreement. No,
It's crazy.
they murdered the hostages. It's done. This has been done since like December. Honestly, everyone has been paying attention. This is a terrorist organization. You can't trust them. And basically what boils down to, I mean, there's a lot of nuance here, but when you boil it down to, it's basically everyone's blaming the Jews.
Oh, for sure, for
This
sure.
I mean, oh, well, it's the Jews' fault. I mean, it's Netanyahu's fault. It's Israel's fault that they're not stopping the war. No. Again, the war could have ended months ago. Could end today. If they just release the remaining, I believe what 90 now it's the, what
Yeah,
90
nobody knows if that number's even
98 hostages,
accurate, though.
95 hostages or
Yeah,
something,
I think a
and
lot of those are already dead.
I think so too, but
Including a lot of Americans.
yeah, there's what five more Americans that
Yeah, I
are
think
under
so.
in custody, so I mean,
At
yeah.
the end of the day, you have to ask, the left's rabid anti-Semitism obviously is a problem. It continues to be a problem. It's getting worse on college campuses now that those terrorists are all back on campus. You see the moral equivalency given by the Democrats at the DNC to these terrorists. You see them attacking Netanyahu for doing his job and trying to eliminate Hamas once and for all. I love that Bibi is basically just standing up and telling the rest of the world to fuck off, because he has a job to do, and even he faces opposition at home. And he probably, at the end of the day, sometime in, I'd say, the nearish future, will end up losing his job. But I've said this from the beginning. I think he realized that at the end of the day, that's what's going to happen regardless. So he needs to, for his legacy and for for what is right and what needs to be done. He needs to finish the job here, and I think he realizes that.
At the very minimum, get Israel and the Israeli forces in a position where they can take over security responsibilities in the region.
Well, I think they said that they will never leave. What's it called? I can't remember the name. The corridor between Egypt and Gaza.
The Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. They said they're never going to leave there now anymore because that's how all the weapons were getting in.
Yeah, and they should keep the buffer between the borders. You know, they've kind of like established a half mile long? Mm-hmm. I don't know. No man's zone.
Yeah. It's
planned in between. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, they just got to finish the job. You know me, if it was up to me, I would just bulldoze the whole place and kill everyone.
Well, we got a problem. I mean, now, you know, we're not doing it, although we could if Kamala wins. But, you know, the Brits have
cut off the weapons.
Partial ban, arms ban. So,
mm-hmm. embargo. Well, so, if Kamala wins, he knows they're fucked. So he's praying that Trump wins for sure. And I think if Trump wins and gets back into office, that'll give BB the upper hand in trying to actually finish the job and get to a conclusion in the war.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not a good situation over there, that's for sure. And that's, you know, that's just one of the foreign crises that's occurring under the Biden-Harris administration. You know, we can go through the whole list here. Of course, you have Ukraine. North Korea has been mouthing off and popping off lately.
They've been having some floods. So
yeah, I saw that. That kind of put a damper on it. You have, you know, of course, the China Taiwan situation. Although, I don't think that the invasion of Taiwan is going to happen before the election. I mean, it could be wrong. October is a time frame for it. But I don't think that Xi has the strength at home that he needs right now. I mean, China's economy is getting decimated pretty quietly behind the scenes here. Their years of like this weird pseudo communism, semi-capitalism, hybrid is crashing down around them.
A lot of their economy was based on, you know, kind of like here, you know, a healthy working population, and they have demographic issues.
Yeah.
Serious demographic issues. There's not enough young people to basically fuel this dragon of an economic machine. And, you know, you have all these I mean, this is for years now, but like all these stories of old people in China just killing themselves because they know that the state can't provide for them. So it's really, especially in rural areas. So,
and their GDP is collapsing. I mean, they do have a mess over there. So
you discussed this. Wasn't there the Chinese equivalent of Bear Stearns? Isn't that about to like implode?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was more of a commercial real estate company. It basically did implode, and that was what set off their economic woes they have right now. I mean, they have very high unemployment, so I don't think that they have the position of strength at home for Xi that he needs to be able to pull that off.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, could be totally wrong. He could do it as a move of desperation, but that's not really his MO either, because I feel like he would have done it already.
So I mean, the Argentinians did that in the Falklands War. I mean, things were going to shit economically, so they're like, "Well, let's distract the people and go to war with Britain." And then they got, you know, fucking bulldozed.
Yeah, I think you're seeing a lot in the world right now of all these leaders waiting to see what happens with our election, because if Trump gets in, obviously it's a whole different world. We're back to American strength and America actually flexing its muscle. But if Kamala gets in, then, you know, it'll be just total chaos.
Oh God.
You'll definitely see, you know, the war with Ukraine and Russia escalate, because Putin knows that if Trump comes back, he's going to force that war to end.
Yeah.
You also have Xi waiting to see, because if Trump comes in, he knows he can't fuck with Taiwan. But if Kamala comes in, then, you know, he's free to do whatever he wants. You kind of see, I think, the same thing with Iran. That's why I think at the end of the day, Iran never actually directly attacked Israel here, because they knew if they get into a long protracted war directly with Israel and Trump comes in, guess who's coming to their aid?
Yeah,
the full force of the American military. And not to mention, I mean, we already
have
the
full force of the military.
Yeah, so And that I will give Biden credit for that. I mean, that's one good thing he did. I mean, and on a long list of 1,000 bad things.
Well, I think Lloyd Austin did that, but okay.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I agree. Well,
this
I
guy's
mean,
been on the beach for like a month, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wish he would go back to the beach because I feel like the less he does, the better off we're going to be.
That's true.
But yeah, I mean, and there's so much shit going down in Africa that doesn't even get publicized. Europe still being overrun by Muslims at every turn. It's pretty wild. Although, did you see what happened in France with the prime minister?
No, what
yeah,
happened?
Macron appointed essentially what they're calling the equivalent of a right-wing prime minister. And so now all the leftists that banded together with him to try to, interfere in the election, essentially, with all the dropping out and stuff, are all fucking livid. So there's probably going to be some riots in France.
Is that why they're trying to get an impeachment thing on
him? Yes. Yep. So yeah, they're pissed. All right, let's see what else we got here. I think maybe you wrote about the story. Nancy Pelosi went on Bill Maher, and she was clearly intoxicated and basically gave away the whole Democrat secret on mass amnesty. Take a listen.
The American dream of home ownership available to all people is something we have to do for people
before
who are here now.
This is before you're a citizen. This is undocumented. This is for the undocumented.
Well, what I would like to do is move them to documented.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Did you write that story? I think you wrote that one, right?
No, I wrote the story about how Bill Maher equated Kamala's CNN interview to a father taking a daughter to the car dealership.
Oh yes, yeah, that's what it was.
No, but this this was kind of they're saying everything out loud, man. Everything out loud.
Well, she was wasted. I mean, she's a notorious drunk, and she clearly had a few too many and went out there and just had the truth serum flowing. She's like, well, they're undocumented, but let's make them documented. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, let's just give citizenship to 40 million illegals. That'll fucking go well.
That's the plan. That's the end game.
Yep. We alluded to this earlier, but yesterday the DOJ, the corrupt DOJ with Attorney General Merrick Garland, went back to the Russia well, showing how desperate they are. I mean, these items that they laid out yesterday are totally ridiculous. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to really dive into the details of what they're alleging in these.
I only saw the headline and then everyone saying the internals for Harris must be really bad.
Yeah. I mean, what they're trying to allege here is ridiculous. Saying that, they were paying American media personalities to influence the upcoming election.
Oh, yes. I did see a little bit of that, yeah.
Which their form of influencing the election is being anti-Ukraine, apparently. Not sure what that has to do with the election. I'd like to see?
Yeah, and I'm not sure that the individuals in some of these indictments were necessarily going to tip the scales, but no disrespect to them, but it's like when liberals think that 100,000 rubles to Facebook caused Clinton to lose the election,
exactly. And but there's a lot of questions about this, but I'd love to see the fucking Ukraine payroll. Who's getting paid by Ukraine when not registered under FARA? I mean, FARA is so selectively enforced and only ever on our side. You ever notice that?
Yeah. That's pretty much.
Yeah.
And I think the only person that got pinched for it on the other side is Bob Menendez. Mm-hmm. And he had to get the old bars for people to...
Well, you know what I really thought was funny here before I play this Pelosi clip? Yeah. Just this morning, guess who said they want Kamala Harris as president of the United States?
The Russians?
Vladimir Putin himself. Yeah. So their new Russia hoax 2.0 lasted a whole fucking less than 24 hours. But yeah, they're just going back to the same well. We got a nice montage here of Nancy Pelosi complaining about Russian interference.
I want to know what the Russians have on Donald Trump. I think we have to have that investigation by the FBI into his financial, personal, and political connections to Russia. What do the Russians have
on Donald Trump politically, financially, and personally.
What does Vladimir Putin have on President Trump personally, politically, financially, in any way? What does he have on Donald Trump? I think it's probably financial. I think it's probably financial, either something financial he has on or something on the come.
I mean, it's just, it's the same old tired playbook.
I know. Yeah. And still, not a shred of evidence from.
Oh, yeah. And meanwhile, the DOJ ignores blatant, obvious cases of real election interference.
Yep.
You have just last week, Mark Zuckerberg admitting to election interference in a letter to Congress, right? Yeah. You have videos yesterday of Amazon running false information through their bullshit bitch.
Alexa.
And then you have, at the same time, RFK, who dropped out of the presidential race, trying to remove his name from ballots in swing states. He wants out. He wants off, right? The candidate himself wants out. And the Democrats, who before were suing to remove him from the ballots, now sue to keep him on the ballots.
Yeah.
That's election interference. Yeah. I mean, there's so many cases of this. And they're worried about this shit again. You know, they're what I saw yesterday is they're laying the groundwork for the hoax 2.0 in the case that Trump should win.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just going to fall apart again like last time, except quickly, more quickly. And, you know, just
well, because this time Trump won't make the very key mistakes he made the first time. Whereas, you know, Attorney General Jeff Sessions recusing himself, which was arguably the biggest mistake of the first Trump administration.
Attorney General Matt Gaetz isn't going to allow this.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I think, you know, they've learned some lessons from the first go round and they're not going to fall for it this time. So we have some more news on the Trump assassination attempt. We're finding out some key information only because of Republican lawmakers, namely Josh Hawley. We are finding out now, this is all new information. It was a local police counter sniper from the ground, not from an elevated position, that neutralized the shooter.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Acting U.S. Secret Service Director Roe lied about this in his recent congressional testimony, along with a lot of other lies about additional security requests and this and that. Mm-hmm. The next, many of the agents assigned to the protective detail on July 13th were not from the Secret Service, but from Homeland Security.
They were
pulled and put onto this detail. So that's even more suspicious given everything else we've learned about this. The DHS agents had no training in protecting a presidential asset other than a single webinar. And finally, we find out that webinar didn't even work for some parts of its 2-hour duration.
Oh my God.
So pile that on to everything else we've learned, right? That the timing of this before he got his full detail, you know, all that they see the shooter on the roof. How did this guy even get there? Why was that building unsecured? And it, you know, just leads you down the path. I'm not saying it yet, but there are some serious questions to be answered there about what did the Secret Service know and when did they know it, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't even clued into the radio system.
I know, which is ridiculous.
I mean, what the hell's going on? I mean, that's almost as bad as leaving the roof unguarded.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no unified comm system here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very, yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's good on these GOP lawmakers. I know Ron Johnson said, I think a couple weeks ago, about 10 days ago, that essentially they've been stonewalled. You know, they're kind of against the wall now. They can't get any more information from the Secret Service. So for any member of that agency that wants to, you know, help us expose the truth and root out the incompetence and corruption that's apparently engulfed that agency, there's got to be leaks. Sorry.
Yeah. We do need more whistleblowers. I fear that we will never find out the true story unless Trump wins.
Yeah.
And if Trump wins, then you're going to have RFK in charge of the Presidential Assassination Committee, which will just be unbelievable.
Get his own Secret Service director in there. It's going to be
good. Yeah. And I actually, one theory I saw, which I think actually holds a lot of water at this point, is that the reason that Trump is being so nice when he talks about the Secret Service is because he knows that there is a lot of shit that's going to come out, and he needs to get elected in order to get that shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that actually kind of makes sense. You know, it's like 4D chess here. You know, and obviously there's a lot of the government's incompetent, and the Secret Service is a government agency, right? Not the first time they allowed a president to get their head blown off.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that too, but there's just a lot of details about this, way too many coincidences, and that many coincidences all together usually means that it's not actually just a coincidence. So, let's see, more election stuff here. Oh, this is a good one. My least favorite bitch. Why don't you tell us what she did?
Yes.
Well, she's number two to Kamala Harris.
Yeah. I know. Liz Cheney, who has vowed, who you know, was on that shoddy select committee on January 6th, and who lost her position in the House leadership because of her anti-Trump antics, who got blown out in her primary. She is shockingly, unshockingly, I should say, endorsing Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. for president. So she's now a full-blown Democrat. So, you know, not that we didn't know, but yeah. What took her so long? Honestly, well, you know,
that's just the final.
She was mouthing off about how she was going to do everything she could to stop Trump from winning. And then she goes silent because it's Liz Cheney and people are kind of tired of the Cheneys and the Bushes. And
yeah, you know, she's an irrelevant has-been. But yeah. What I found really interesting was that when she released her endorsement, Kamala Harris's campaign sends out a press release with the headline, "Conservative Republican Liz Cheney endorses Kamala Harris."
Yeah.
Like, well, she hasn't been a conservative Republican for about 5 years now. Yeah. Also, why don't we just take a look back at her tweet from 2019 where she said,
basically, Kamala was a nutty communist who can't be elected.
I'm pulling the tweet up here because I want to read this. Kamala Harris is a radical liberal who would raise taxes, take away guns and health insurance, and explode the size and power of the federal government. She wants to recreate America in the image of what's happening on the streets of Portland and Seattle. We won't give her the chance. That was from 2020.
Now she's voting for her.
Yeah, so 4 years ago, almost to the day, which is ironic.
I was also reading the New York Times piece about how the Harris campaign was trying to court her. And I'm just like, why? First of all, not that I'm complaining because they wasted time, mm-hmm. but like, why would you waste your time on an endorsement like this? You know?
Well, what I love is just the general swap that's been going on here of us taking top notch, you know, former Democrats.
Yeah.
And they get all these washed up fucking losers like Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney, also the son of John McCain, who gives
them. Yeah, Jimmy. Yeah.
Which also, by the way, I'm pretty sure he violated the code, military code, by endorsing, because I don't think you're allowed to do that. But by the way, you know, they bring him on to CNN to spout his bullshit. But CNN has no time to spare for the Gold Star parents of the 13 great Americans killed, murdered at Abbey Gate by a suicide bomber, who came out in opposition to Kamala Harris, very strong opposition, after she essentially disgracefully said that, you know, attack them.
Yeah.
What kind of bizarre world are we living in?
It's weird. I know. And she was invited to that event. I think people forget that's the whole thing that blows this whole media narrative up about Trump going to Arlington, mm-hmm. is that everybody was invited.
Oh yeah, she was invited, and guess what?
Trump came. She decided to stay in Naval One Observatory, I believe, right?
She was in D.C. less than a 10-minute motorcade ride to Arlington.
Yeah. She was not that far, and Biden was at the beach. So you know what boiled down to was the optics looked bad. That made the Democrats look bad. So now, of course, as you know, CNN and company had to create a narrative of, mm-hmm. oh, Trump is politicizing an Arlington visit. Well, turns out that John McCain also kind of did that when he
Did, and so did Joe Biden too. Yeah, don't forget.
2000, when he ran for president in 2000, he's there strolling through Arlington. So you know what? Everybody needs to just calm down and just take the L.
Well, and those videos that the Gold Star family has released were scathing for Kamala.
Well, and they should be.
They should be. She oversaw this with Joe Biden. Remember, she said, quote, I was the last person in the room with planning the Afghanistan withdrawal. Well, the blood's on your hands too, bitch.
Yep. Yep. And it's like, you know, her campaign wades into this blunder by releasing that stupid tweet about as if no one knew that these Gold Star parents had access to internet and could post things and respond. They weren't going to respond to this. Like,
yeah, that was a very, very strong move by the Trump campaign to do that. And I think that you're going to see a lot more of that from now until the election.
Oh, but Storm, of course, remember, now it's Trump uses Gold Star families to attack Harris.
Yes.
Remember, that was the pivot.
Which I'm fine with. Yes. Because she deserves it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Tim Walz, our good horse friend, continues to have issues. His family is now endorsing President Trump. There is a photo of the entire family in Nebraska Walz's for Trump shirts. And it was confirmed. And so that the individuals in that photo, their grandfather is the brother of Walz's grandfather.
Okay.
So, you know, it's another part of the family. But this is also on the heels of Walz's own brother saying that there are some very questionable things about Tim Walz's past, and he has openly endorsed President Trump. And there is a rumor that Walz's brother, Jeff, is going to go meet with Trump and do a photo op. So,
So what are the things in the past, including love of horses and traffic cones?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. All right. So one other thing on actual policy here. Tim Walz has now been subpoenaed by the House Committee on Education and the Workforce for a massive COVID-19 fraud scheme in Minnesota, apparently defrauding of over $250 million of taxpayer funds that were sent that were supposed to be for COVID relief intended to feed hungry children from the USDA. So,
great.
Yeah, that's a big one. So we'll see if there's going to be some hearings on that over the next month or so.
Yeah.
We got another Kamala flip-flop. Now official. Campaign spokesperson say Kamala Harris does not support an electric vehicle mandate.
Okay, because yesterday when she – the follow-up question, she didn't answer.
Yep. And then you have one of the most liberal members of the House going on TV, Ro Khanna. Take a listen to this clip.
Let me tell you why I don't think a blanket tax on unrealized gain is a good thing. I mean, let's say you're an entrepreneur. You create a company. And it gets to $100 million or $200 million on paper. Now, if you're taxing that, you're probably going to force that person to sell it. They're probably going to sell it to private equity. Do you really want the entrepreneurs to be forced to sell their companies to larger institutions and to decline in value? I don't think that that's what you want for a startup ecosystem.
Well, she said that she wanted to tax unrealized gains. So another flip-flopping coming on that.
And also, who's in charge of the messaging here? Who's in charge of the comms? Because we had her own economic advisor went on CNBC.
Yep.
And talking about the supposed benefits of unrealized gains and taxing them. And
It would only just destroy
current and That was hilarious. Did you watch that? That clip was hilarious. The host. Oh, yeah. We all know your pivots.
Yeah. Well, because even the CNBC guys, you know, they're all economy people.
Yeah.
They realize how bad this bitch would be for the country. You know, it's not even just a matter of whether you like Trump or like his other policies or anything. Just on the base economy issue, it's obvious there's only one person who has any clue what they're doing, and it's not Kamala Harris.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the lie about taxes. You know, no one making, you know, under $400,000 a year won't see their taxes raised. Well, on this tax issue, their line is anybody whose net worth isn't $100 million won't get taxed. That is not fucking true. Not true for anyone
definitely
and,
not.
And of course, boil it down to the home market or something like that. You know, you're still going to pay a tax on that.
Yep.
So,
Well, and guess what? The income tax, when it was started, was only for people at that time, back in whatever year it was, long time ago, was only for people making over $500,000, which at that time was a very high number.
Oh my God. That was,
Yeah. How'd that turn out?
Yeah. Exactly. I know, yeah. Right?
All right. Kamala Harris finally accepts the debate rules, although apparently still working behind the scenes to try to get them changed. But ABC officially announced last night the debate rules, holding in place everything that was in the first debate. Standing, muted mics, no audience, no notes, no campaign staffer interactions. So I do believe that we're in a good position here.
Yeah.
And you
that's
know
why, that's why she's taking a whole week off.
Oh yeah. Well,
those staffer notes shit.
Well, no. She's doing a few events, but what's most telling to me is where those events are. They are in the three states of Minnesota, New Hampshire, and Virginia. They're not in the toss-up states. Yeah. So I don't know what they're doing. And even when they had that event in New Hampshire yesterday, they had to fucking bus people in from Massachusetts.
Yeah, I remember that. Virginia, that's interesting. You know, there was – now, I kind of disregarded it as a fluke poll. And I apologize. I forget who did.
No. We have three polls now showing it a three-point race in Virginia.
That's right. Yeah. I thought I saw Trump with a 3-5, which makes
it to me bad. Now, Virginia is in the reach toss-up range. You know, if we win North Carolina by say between 1.5 to 3 points, I think Virginia will probably be within a very low single digit range.
It would be like a Glenn Youngkin margin.
Yes. Yeah.
Around that and that type of neighborhood. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. It's very, very possible. You know, in the end of the day, do I think it's going to happen? Maybe, probably not. It, you know, a lot depends on what happens in the debate and what happens over the next 2 months. A lot can change here. But yeah. Virginia consistently now in several polls has been within reach. So the fact that she's going there means that, you know, like you say, and we've heard this many times from other sources behind the scenes and reported in the news, Kamala Harris's internals are fucking garbage right now. They know it. And they are scrambling, and that's why they are so afraid of the debate. That's why they tried to change the rules. And everyone always says, oh, well, she just wanted to have her sorry I'm speaking moment. I actually don't think that was it. They wanted Trump to have an unmuted mic so that way he can go undisciplined.
Yeah. On her. Well, James Carville said the quiet part out loud when he was like, Kamala has to let Trump sink himself. And that's one way to do it. So.
Yeah, and ironically enough, Trump's strategy going into the debate, which he said is, I'm just going to let her talk and destroy herself. But yeah, notes, she's cooked. And she had notes in the CNN interview.
And she still sounded retarded. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. You know, it's kind of, again, it's like meet the old boss, same as the new boss, because basically Biden collapsing in Virginia is what got pretty much everybody behind the coup. Push to get him out of there before on July 21st. So,
yep,
unbelievable.
You see it happening right now in the betting markets. Trump opening up his biggest lead since Kamala came into the race. I believe in the newest poly market, he's up 7 now, 53-46%. It's the largest lead he's had since she came into the race. You see it, and we're going to hit some more battleground polls here. But I really do think, like you said, they were counting on a convention bump that never came. And in fact, the opposite happened. She peaked because of how she came into the race.
Yeah.
And that's only going to go down from here. The more she talks, the less people like her.
Yeah.
And that's going to continue. And because of how this election has played out, because of how she came into the race, you know, the hiding is just not going to work.
No. And people need to hear policy right now. You know,
still doesn't have a policy section on her fucking website.
Doesn't have a policy section, which I know. Listen, I understand. It's not like it is an overrated type of aspect of a campaign, yeah. But you need to fucking have one though. Still, you know, you still need to have white papers on there.
And
something.
You could explain that away when it was, oh, you know, she's only been in the race for a month. She had to pick a VP. You had the convention. Well, now it's been over, you know, essentially 2 weeks since the convention ended. Still nothing.
It's unbelievable.
And in that time, they had to do that highly produced CNN interview, which apparently they cut a ton of shit out for her.
Yeah.
Never released a full transcript, which is in total opposition of what has happened always with interviews like that. And in that time, she did one interview when Trump and Vance have done, I think now 45 and counting.
At least 30 plus. So,
The number I saw the other yesterday was 42-1. And just last night, J.D. Vance was on Laura Ingraham, and which he's excellent on TV, by the way. I see why they picked him now. And then Trump did the town hall, which counts. So I think we're at 44-1.
And I think it was Dana Perino who made a good point of, you know what? These interviews are kind of like soft debate prep.
Yes. Yep.
I think she said that because, you know, you don't know the questions. You got to think, you know, you got to be off the – your whole mindset is off script, right? Obviously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these two can do that, and they do it well. And Kamala just can't. It just cannot do it.
The debate next week, you know, I do truly believe is pretty much the election.
It is. No, it is the election. This is high noon.
You know, I've talked about it in the past. There's a number of reasons because, one, we're not sure a second debate's going to happen. There hasn't really, I don't think, been a true official full agreement made on that yet. And if she gets crushed, there's not going to be a second debate. Wow. And even if there is a second debate, this one occurs on the 10th, the second's on the 25th. There's two full weeks in there that the entire narrative is going to be driven by what happens in that debate. Yeah. And early voting is about to begin. I mean, we have a fucking election quarter now with 3 months of fucking voting. It's ridiculous, but that's what's happening. North Carolina ballots, I think, get sent out this Friday, the mail ballots.
And Pennsylvania begins early voting in 30 days.
Virginia starts next weekend.
Next weekend.
Pennsylvania is pretty early. One thing that I will note here, speaking of early voting and mail, that vote by mail applications and absentee applications are down something like 80% over 2020.
Yeah, I saw.
So if the Democrats were counting on that, they're going to be in a little bit of a rough situation there.
Someone tweeted, Dems have a lot of work to do. And that was like a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, the debate on Tuesday is pretty much the whole ball game here. I think if Trump has a strong debate, that could really cement our position into being in the driver's seat for the election. Now, I would not put it past them to have Kamala just happen to get COVID on Tuesday.
And then Trump should reply, "I've had it. I've been vaccinated. Let's go."
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So we'll see. I think they've been desperately looking for an escape hatch here, and they've kind of been unable to find it. They thought that trying to raise a kerfuffle over the rules would do it for them. It has not.
I know this will never happen because the pool will be so small that you can never leak it. And that's by design. But I want to see the video of this debate prep here. I bet it's a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean,
E-roll has to be gold.
I don't know who she's using as the Trump. I know that Trump is using Tulsi as the Kamala, which is excellent.
Yeah, because she's the one that kind of ended her campaign.
Oh, she scalped Kamala live on TV in 2019.
Yeah, 2 months later, she quit. So it's just, every single issue that she has to prepare for, she has to also prepare for a response to, well, why did you think the opposite, you know, when you weren't running for president? That's going to be a consistent, like, punching bag there.
Well, we'll see if the ABC moderators are fair. I think one of them is
Lord Slopidopoulos.
Well, no, it's not Slopidopoulos. They got him.
That's a great one.
That is a great nickname, by the way. I think one is David Muir, who
he's not bad.
He's been okay. Yeah,
he's not the worst.
And I also think that given he's got a big ego, I think that given what the monstrosity of this event's going to be. He's going to be trying to, I think he's going to try to pull essentially a Jake Tapper and try to be so fair that it might actually benefit us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they get so insecure about those criticisms that he may actually be fair. I don't know who the lady is. It better not be Martha Raddatz.
Oh, no.
But let's see. ABC.
But usually if it's going by seniority, it'll be her for sure.
Yeah. Let's see. David Muir and ABC News Live anchor Lindsay Davis. I don't know who that is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's it really is, I think, the whole ball game. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a very, very big night. Of course, we'll have full live coverage for you at townhall.com and all the sites in the Town Hall Media Network. It is going to be essentially the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be just as significant of an event as the June 27th debate, and how that kicked Biden out of the race and really set off Trump's surge. I think we are in a prime position to be able to do that here again. So
I think so too.
All right. Some quick polling review here before we wrap up. I mean, the polling, like you said, has been pretty scattered. Surprised at how little there's been. I do think it's going to pick up here post Labor Day now. I think that their likely voter models have been overly generous to Kamala at best. I think that if you really look at the national polls that they're putting out here that show Kamala up one, that would be a Trump win. The estimate now is that she needs to win the popular vote by at least 2.4 in order to have a chance at winning the Electoral College. So when you see a Wall Street Journal poll come out that slightly oversampled Democrats and it's Harris plus one, I read that as an encouraging poll.
Yeah.
If you look at the battleground states, right, we'll start out west. Arizona, Trump's been on a heater in Arizona polls. There's not a ton of them, but he's been either leading and tied in six of the last seven polls.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, I think Arizona is looking pretty good for us. Mm-hmm. Nevada is an interesting one. So Nevada was looking really good when it was Joe Biden and then kind of flipped a little bit. But a new poll that just came out 2 days ago, the most recent poll, shows Trump plus one. So that is absolutely a battleground state there. You know, true toss up, I'd say. Luckily, we don't have to take Nevada to win if we can get Pennsylvania, but it would make things a lot easier if we did. One thing I saw this morning, I'm trying to tell the campaign this, Trump should vow to release the Vegas shooting files.
Yeah.
Because those people want answers out there and the FBI never gave it to them. Shocking.
What is it? Yeah, I know.
But another shocking development from the FBI. Let's continue across the South. Georgia. Georgia's an interesting one. You know, same thing. Harris comes into the race, gets a little bump at the polls, you know, but these polls, you got to keep in mind, polls are snapshots of a trailing time, right? Because by the time a poll goes into the field, then comes out of the field, then gets analyzed and the data run and released, that's already a week in the past, right? Yeah. So yeah. A poll that came out on August 28th, which is now over a week ago, is actually a snapshot of 2 weeks ago, right? So yeah. That was Harris plus one. The one that came out a couple days ago on the 31st was a tie. I think that with Kemp's machine in Georgia, I think we're going to win Georgia. Now, it's going to be very close for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that we were leading by 4 points in Georgia before Biden dropped out, that just doesn't automatically disappear because she comes into the race.
No, it doesn't.
And that's, again, you look at these polls and you compare how they were sampling before and the likely voter models before versus what it is now. I mean, they essentially flipped 8 to 10 points to the Democrat side. And like you said before, the biggest key is if that sampling error is there, as was before, in underestimating Trump support, and we're tied or minus one in these polls, then we win.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
North Carolina, same exact thing. Close, but we're up one, up two. Really, the whole ball game is Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yeah.
And I actually think we're in such a strong position to win Pennsylvania. People may think I'm crazy, but the amount that we've cut their voter registration edge in Pennsylvania in half, from 600,000 down to 300,000, is huge. The voter enthusiasm in the rural areas of Pennsylvania is at levels that Trump didn't even see in 2016. I mean, Bucks County, for God's sake, switched to Republican registration.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did we ever think that that was going to happen?
8,000 registration lead, yeah.
And now, I mean, will Trump win Bucks County? I don't know, but it'll be close. It won't be a place for the Democrats to run up the numbers like Joe Biden did. Same thing up in Scranton. You know, Kamala Harris is not Joe Biden as far as pulling white working class votes. And so I think that that's really going to be, you know, Pennsylvania is the whole ballgame. If we win Pennsylvania, our chance of winning the Electoral College, I think, goes to like 98%.
Yeah. In 2016, Trump tied with Clinton in Bucks County.
Mm-hmm.
So just saying, that's the bet. Winning, obviously, icing on the cake. But if he just can run competitively, we'll be okay. So.
Yeah. Yeah, Michigan, Wisconsin's interesting. Michigan, you know, we get weird polls in Michigan. It's like Harris plus three, and then you get a Trump plus one, and then you get a tie. That's a true battle,
man. They're staying home, I think.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, that's really the whole ball game there.
Yeah. I'm not going to bet heavily on that. But
no, me either. I actually think we have a better chance of winning Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And so that'll be, you know, those states are going to be razor thin again. It's going to be just like both last elections there. The difference this time is there's much less mail voting going on. So hopefully less potential for fraud. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's essentially where we are. Seven states to decide the presidency. We're hoping that the Sun Belt is pretty good. And then we just need to get Pennsylvania. That happens. Trump's president again, and we could all be happy for a little bit.
Yep.
That's it. So, all right, we're going to wrap up today's show. Of course, if you have any comments, email us, triggered@townhall.com. We'd love to hear what you're thinking about the election, how you're feeling going into this. And remember, one key thing I want everybody to remember here. These pollsters, these Democrat pollsters, unless they're Republican pollsters, right, which, by the way, always get a bad reputation, but were statistically the ones closest to the result in both of the last presidential elections. The Democrat pollsters put these polls out as part of the messaging. They want us to be demoralized. They want us to be unenthusiastic, right? They want us to think we're going to lose, because when we feel good about this and we think we're going to win, we're riled up, we're ready to go. You know, that's all part of essentially this big psyop that they've been doing since Kamala came into the race, with all these glowing propaganda media things and the polls and this and that. So keep that in mind. Whenever you hear these polls, you know, at the end of the day, everyone's just got to keep fighting. 2 months to go, and then hopefully we win. If we don't, then, you know, the show ends and we could all die. So
we're going to jail, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. Well, they're not taking me alive from my cold death. So, of course, if you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code TRIGGERED for 50% off your membership to get into this exclusive club of patriots. You know what you'll get. My voice is tired. I'm not going to go through the whole list. I promise you, money back guarantee. No one has ever asked for their money back for a Triggered listener to become a VIP. I promise you, you won't regret it. And you'll directly fund everything that we're doing over here at Town Hall Media. TownhallVIP.com. Use the promo code TRIGGERED for 50% off. Thank you to all of you who are VIP members or Triggered listeners. There's so many of you, and it means the world to us. And those of you that just listen to the show, we love you anyway. We do this for you. Don't forget, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way to helping us beat the big tech algorithms in the podcast stores. Would really appreciate that if you could put that in. And we will be back here. Oh, breaking news.
Yeah, yeah.
Hunter Biden to plead guilty?
Yep. He wants to avoid a trial.
Oh, man. Well, he knows he's going to get pardoned by Joe.
Dude, it was like, you know what it reminds me of? I bet it was like the scene in Wolf of Wall Street with the prosecutor. This is a Grenada. No matter what, we win.
Wow. Yeah. Well, he knows that Joe's going to pardon him the day after the election anyway, so that's really just the bet he's making.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
That's interesting. Yeah, he wants to avoid a trial because it'd be worse for the Democrats.
Yeah.
And they don't want the dirty laundry all to be dragged out through the media.
You think that was a moment of Joe being cogent? Listen!
Yeah.
Now, disgrace. You don't do this!
Take the plea, you fucking crackhead. All right, well, that's some interesting news. See, we do it live here on Triggered. We will be back here next Wednesday on September 11th. It'll be 23 years since that horrible day, to review the debate, and we'll talk about 9/11, the remembrance ceremonies. I'm sure Joe Biden won't bother to show up to anything, so we'll see if I assume President Trump's going to go to something. So, all right, we will be back here next week for another episode of Triggered.
See you then.